And good morning. Welcome in to the Front Porch here on this Thursday morning. It is the 17th day of July, 2025. And of course, Mike Humbelin with us this morning. Of course, Mike had a call, so we'll be just a few moments getting started. But we'll go ahead and squeeze a song in right now for King and Country, God Only Knows. And welcome to the Front Porch. God Only Knows for King and Country, right here on Missionary Radio. And of course, this is the Front Porch. Mike Humbelin with us this morning. And also sitting in with him is Larry Ritchie. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
And of course, you got one of those phone calls, so you had to step out for a few moments.
Out a minute. Yeah.
And everything that happens when you're.
It happens when you're a chaplain.
When you're a chaplain, yeah. So. But anyway, but it's good to have y'all with us this morning on Missionary Radio Front Porch. Filling in for Ken today. So
good to be seen.
It is good to be seen.
That means you're above ground.
That's very true. very true.
It's always better, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the other alternative, if you know Jesus Christ, you're just going to open up your eyes in a brand new place. And another good thing, you're going to have a brand new body.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because, you know, we all, as Christians, we talk about going to heaven, and we all talk about can't wait to go to heaven. And then when you get sick, you do everything in the world you can to stay alive.
Stay alive. That's right.
That's
very true. I mean, you know,
it's interesting.
What was that song? It was by Rhonda Vincent. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die.
Yeah. Right.
And that's you know, I know I've asked my mom, of course, she's on up there in, you know, in years and stuff. And I said, Mom, are you ready to go? She said, I'm ready to go. But she said, I want to stay here as long as I can.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's all of us. We want to stay here as long as we can, you know.
Well, you know, we're made to live.
We are.
You know, I mean, it's about life, not death. Death is an enemy.
Yes.
That's what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the last enemy that's going to be defeated.
That's right.
So death is called an enemy.
It is.
I mean, to somebody that's laying there suffering and suffering a long time, especially an older person.
Yeah.
You know, I'm an older person. But you know what I'm saying is somebody that's been sick or elderly or whatever and look forward to going to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I've ministered to them when they lay there and prayed to go die, you know.
Yeah.
Come get me, Lord. Come get me, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I remember one time I was in a home. I got called to the home. I knew these people pretty well. And the man was old, and he was dying, or he's trying to die, but he couldn't die.
Yeah.
And they'd all given up on him, everything else. And he said, he called me. When we come out there, they called family, called me, said, he wants to talk to you. And he called me, and I went in to see him, and he was at his home. And he said, Mike, I can't die.
Yeah.
Why can't I die? He said, I've already seen the silver cord broken. Now, I don't understand all that, but, you know.
Yeah, sure.
But I thought, okay, well, let me pray about it. And so I stepped out of the room and asked the Lord, what's going on? And he said, Becky was his mentally challenged daughter,
mm-hmm.
and loved her daddy so much.
Yeah.
And she didn't want to see her daddy die.
Mm.
So, you know, that's a pretty powerful prayer from a mentally challenged person.
Very much so.
Very simple.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I went to Becky and I said, Becky, you've been praying for your daddy to live, hadn't you?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I said, honey, you got to let your daddy go. He's ready to go home, be with Jesus.
Yeah.
And so she said, I don't want to.
Yeah.
I said, he needs to go home, be with Jesus.
Yeah.
Let's pray. And so I had Becky pray a little prayer with me, and she released him. The moment she released him, he died.
Really?
The moment.
Wow.
See, we can hold people here.
Sure.
More than what we think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, we don't understand all that. I mean, if you understand all that, it's mysteries we do not know.
Mm-mm.
I think sometimes, Brian, we think we know everything or science knows everything.
That's it.
But I really don't know a whole lot when it comes down to it.
Mm-hmm. You know, and too, Mike, you know, I hear people say, you know, I don't understand now, but I hope it can be explained to me when I get there. And I told a person one time, I said, I don't think you're going to worry about it. I said, when you get to heaven, I said, you're not going to worry about asking the Lord nothing. I said, you're just going to be happier there.
Well, we'll be known. We'll know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I think about even my own son.
Mm-hmm.
I lost a son with cancer, rare cancer. Yes. And he was a police officer at Guthrie and a chief, and he was a good man. And he was dying, and he was suffering quite a bit and ready to go. We looked over at his daughter, and she was 11 at the time.
Yeah.
And we said, I think it was my wife had said, Lily, you got to let your daddy go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she whispered in his ear, said, Daddy, it's okay. You can go now.
Mm-hmm.
And instantly he passed away.
Man.
You know, we can hold people. I don't know. I don't know how we're getting on this conversation.
But I don't either, but it's good.
But, you know, I mean, we a lot of times, a lot of people hearing us that go through things like that.
Absolutely.
And they may have somebody that you're holding here.
Yeah.
And we want to hold to somebody we love as long as we can.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, we don't know. Larry and I are chaplains and with police and fire. The call I got was from the coroner because they had a death last night.
Yeah.
And just talking to her briefly. And, you know, we don't want to die because we're made to live.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're made to live.
Made to live. That's right. That's right. And, you know, it's hard to let our loved ones go.
It's hard to let them go.
I mean, it's really hard to let them go. Of course, I still have my mom here, 89, you know, and she's going to be 90 next year. So she's had a lot of health issues, but she keeps battling right through it, you know.
Sure.
And everything, and I'm glad the Lord keeps her here. She says, I guess I'm here for a reason, you know.
that's what everybody says, I think.
I'm here for a reason. and you know, you never know what that reason might be. You know, it might be to witness to somebody while you're in the hospital, you know, to win somebody to the Lord. I mean, you know, I've seen that happen. So, I mean, it's very interesting, you know, but the Lord keeps us here for reasons, I believe, you know, and I see it all the time.
Well, that's an interesting statement because a lot of people say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I must be here for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And the trouble is that people don't find their reason.
That's true, too.
And we need to find a reason why we're here.
That's right.
You know, God gives gifts and callings to people without repentance. And a lot of people don't realize what I'm here for. Not only to raise your kids and and to be a family, but I mean, we're probably reaching more people than what we ever think we are.
Sure.
Especially if you're a believer.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I told the guys at prison at Eddyville, my wife and I went and did three services at Eddyville. I don't know anybody hears this, may not know where Eddyville is, but it's Kentucky State Penitentiary.
Yeah.
It's our maximum security prison. Mm-hmm. So we did a service with some of the general population. We did a service on death row inmates, and then we did an outside dorm, which is a minimum security place, Sunday. And, you know, I was talking to them about everybody's got a purpose and a reason in their life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, and it's certainly the devil likes to mess up our reasons.
Well, sure he does.
If you look at the potential of people that's in prison, some of them are the smartest people you'll find or has great potential.
Mm-hmm.
But the enemy was successful in messing up their purpose in life.
Messing up their purpose, yeah.
You know, and so I think we need to seek God and say, God, what? I mean, we can ask God, what is my purpose? What do you want me to do?
Mm-hmm. What do you want me to do?
Because we always think of something like being a minister or being a chaplain or being this or that. No, it may be just how to love your kids or visit your next door neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Go help at a place somewhere, a nonprofit, or do something.
Sure, sure.
Just get up and do something.
You know, here's another good one, Mike.
Pray for somebody.
Hey, what about going to a nursing home?
Go to a nursing home. Yes.
You know, there's when I go out to a nursing home and visit somebody or something, you know, you're sitting here thinking, you walk room after room and you see these people just laying there and nobody's in there with them. And a lot of times you think, a lot of times the families put them there and then they never go see them and they're lonely.
Yeah.
They have nobody to talk to.
Oh, my gosh, they're lonely.
And just to go and uplift somebody, to talk to them a little bit, you just don't realize how much power that could give, you know, help out somebody.
Yeah.
You know, that's having a difficult time, that's there, so.
You know, Brian, that's a good point. That's a good ministry right
it
there.
It is.
The nursing home will let you come and work it out with them, of course.
Sure.
But there is a lot of people who need a visit, and especially if you got kids.
Oh, yeah.
They love to see kids in these nursing homes.
Love to see kids.
You know, and if you go in there, they're not going to catch some kind of disease that you're not going to get over or anything like
that's
that.
Right.
I don't know, you know, what the theology you're thinking is.
Yeah,
But, you know, there's a lot of places to serve.
Oh, all kinds of places.
A lot of places to serve.
All kinds of places.
You know, and you can go to... go to most of your nonprofits or go to your social services.
Yeah.
What can I do to help?
Yeah.
Is there anybody, any family I can do to help? Because you got to be vetted.
Sure.
Got to make
sure
you don't have a felony or something like that, you know, and things like that. But that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but serve.
Serve, yeah.
Serve somebody today.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about, is serving one another.
Serving one another. Telling somebody about Jesus Christ.
Yeah, telling somebody about Jesus, but living it.
Living it.
You know, it's more, it's easy for me to talk to somebody. I can get on the radio here and talk.
Yeah.
But to reach out and to serve is a different story.
Absolutely.
And then there is people who serve but don't want to talk. Larry don't talk a lot here.
Don't talk a lot.
Larry don't talk. Larry's here with me, and he and his wife do a wonderful job. You know, he may share a little bit. We have ministry in Bangladesh. Larry, is that a Muslim country or what?
Slightly, yes.
Slightly. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, really slightly.
Yeah.
You know, it's the third largest Muslim country in the world.
Wow.
It's 91% Muslim.
Yeah.
8% Hindu.
Uh-huh.
And 1%, is it 1% Christian? Between
Christian.
That and Buddhist?
Yeah.
Between Buddhist and Christian, 1%
Wow.
Christian. So, you know.
Now, there's more of the Muslim religion coming into America now, too, right?
Oh, yes. Of course it is.
Yeah, because I know me and my wife, we was in Bowling Green back, I think it was probably a year or so ago. And, of course, you know they have that mosque over there in Bowling Green. And you can see it from the road when you're coming, you know, coming in. And I don't know, we was talking about it, and we said something about, you know, going back there and just seeing what it looks like, you know. So we drove back there, you know, and me and her both just felt this very unsettling spirit when we drove by that. And I was like, man, I said, let's get on out of here. I said, you know, it's like you could just feel that, you know, just what was there, you know. And that's the spirit of the Lord, you know, working in you, saying, hey, you know, that's not where you need to be, or he'll turn you around, put it that way.
Yeah. Like in Haiti, if you go to a voodoo village and
you
come in there and all of a sudden the hair on the back of your neck stands up we need to leave here.
And we need to get out of here. Yeah, we don't need to stay around here. But, yeah, but it was a weird feeling. You know, most people said, oh, Brian, you know. It's just a place. Yeah, it's a place. But, you know, when you're a Christian, you can just tell when you go to around certain things that discerning spirit just dwells up inside of you like, man, this is just not right, you know, because we know who the true King is, and we know that he's almighty. So,
well, you know, Larry, those things, they ever wake you up with those early morning prayer things?
Oh, yeah. 5 a.m.
Yeah,
every morning.
And they're out there doing their
No, they have loudspeakers. They're on loudspeakers.
Yeah. Oh, it's on loudspeakers.
Oh, yeah.
So everybody can hear it.
Everybody gets to hear it.
Everybody gets to hear it.
Ooh.
Hi-ya, whatever. Allah.
My.
So I ask them sometimes, I'm riding with them, I said, when's your God speak to you last?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a good question to ask somebody. It's not a Christian.
Yeah, when has he spoke to you? When has he done anything?
When did your God speak to you? Or going to a Hindu village? You have to be careful because you don't want to get shot.
Oh, no.
You like to come out of the village. But you have to be very careful. But what I'm saying is I ask them many times. Go by one of these statues, these Hindu statues. Uh-huh. You know, we have more Hindu in our area than we used to have. Mm-hmm. And they're mostly Indian people and from India and stuff.
Yeah.
And so what we got coming up here?
We're going to break away and get into our pen from the heart, okay?
Let's do it.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, I'm excited to spread the gospel around the world with you. From a Katie's listener, I've been listening for quite a few years. Love all the programs and people. God bless. From Crofton, thank you for all you do. I've been listening since about 1984. You've made a big difference in my life. Thank you for that. Also from Clarksville, God bless the work you all are doing.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
And, of course, Mike Humble in with us today. And, of course, Larry Ritchie, the guy with very few words. But that's all right. That's all right. I mean, you know, he's Mike's chauffeur.
He's my chauffeur.
Yeah, chauffeur.
Not better than me.
But anyway, we've, you know, kind of started off talking about a few things. Mike, where exactly? We started off, I think, where we didn't mean to, but we kind of started off.
Well, I don't know. We go wherever the Spirit leads us.
Yeah, there you go.
But there's one thing I do want to stress, because I'm on the board of directors here, is that for y'all to give.
Sure.
Because, you know, to keep us on the air, we have to have contributions.
We have to.
And I know that many people out there do hear us and may never give. I know you give to your church and everything else, but what I'm saying is we need your help.
Mm-hmm.
In order to keep this station going and other stations that we have, it takes money to run it.
Absolutely.
I mean, Brian, of course, he could volunteer, but we have to give him a little bit every once in a while.
You've got to give me a little something. I mean, or I wouldn't be able to pay
him a cup of coffee or something.
You know, I wouldn't be able to pay my bills. So.
You know, but it is important to share.
It is.
And he's put out the information of where you can share at. It's so easy. Nowadays, you can even go online and share.
Yeah, yeah.
And that makes a big difference to be able to do that. And most people, most time, it's very secure on these sites, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's all secure when you go to the missionary.radio website and go to donate there in the top right-hand corner.
Yeah.
Everything, like I said, your information is not, you know.
Right. Not shared to everybody else.
Not shared to everybody else. So it is secure when you fill out your information and put it on there for us, do whatever you want us to do there. So,
you know, and one thing I want to bring up, and I was going to talk some about it today. I don't know, you know, about whooping the devil.
Whooping the devil.
You want to whoop somebody.
Yeah.
It's time for us to whoop the devil.
I agree with that. I agree with that. We need to whoop the devil.
You know, I mean, people sit around and get beat up all the time by the devil and don't realize, hey, who you fight against, Larry?
Yep.
Fight against the devil.
It's not flesh and blood.
Yeah.
I mean, you may get in an argument with your spouse or you may get in an argument with somebody, but let me tell you something. They're not the devil.
That's true. Well, let me ask you a question, Mike, and I've thought about this many times. Is it always the devil that makes you do something?
No.
A lot of people want to blame the devil for everything. You know, the devil made me do this, the devil made me do that. Is it always the devil that makes you?
Well, we don't ever want to blame ourselves.
Well, no, we don't want to blame ourselves.
It's always your fault, Brian.
Well, sure. When I do something, I blame myself. I mean, this is my fault.
Well, we have to contend with the flesh.
Sure, every day.
And the devil. Because the devil really knows how to stir up the flesh.
Yes.
And that is an enemy, the flesh and the devil. Mm-hmm. Both are enemies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The flesh, I'm talking about, you know, which is our carnal nature.
Yeah. Well, let's see, what was it? Paul? He said he had to die daily?
Die daily to the flesh.
To the flesh.
Yeah.
So we know that every single day we've got to die. Well, to make it through the day, because we're always going to be, something's always going to pop up.
Right.
That's going to get us off course.
Yeah.
And we know that that's the devil's way to get us distracted from Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, let me let this happen today and see if we can get him distracted or her distracted today to turn them a different direction.
And, Brian, we don't know when our day comes.
No, we don't.
You know, I mean, as a chaplain, we had 3 deaths this week, I think we went on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. I know one of our chaplains took it last night. I was supposed to take the call, and he called and said, I'll take it. And I said, okay, you can have it.
Yeah.
Because there was a bad wreck and stuff. Yeah. But what I'm saying is we don't know, and I tell people all the time, you're not getting out of here alive.
Absolutely not.
You're not getting out of this world alive.
Not getting out of here alive.
You know, we're all, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment.
Then the judgment.
But, you know, when we've made that decision before we die, then we got a safety.
Yes.
We got safety.
We have safety.
You know, death is still an enemy, as we said. It's still an enemy.
It is. It is.
And, but it's time for us to whoop the devil in our lives, because he keeps us in the negative all the time.
Always.
You know, you're a pretty positive person, Brian. I see that.
I try to stay as positive as I can.
Yeah.
And I've noticed through me being positive, you know, when I run into people, there's a young girl that works at one of our drive-thrus. I think I might have shared this the other day, but she said, you're one of my favorite customers.
Yeah.
You know, you're always happy and you're always nice, you know. And I know back a few months ago I shared with another one that basically said the same thing. I said, you know, when you have Christ living within you, I said, that's the way we're supposed to act as a Christian. Now, is it easy every single day to have a very just happy, you know? It's not. It's not easy.
What about Larry? Is it easy every day?
No, it's not easy every day.
But I want to try to let my light shine.
Yes, sir.
You know, and I want people to look upon me and say, hey, you know, I want to know what Brian's got going on. You know, reason why he's so happy.
You know, that's true. What was that song you sing? Let your light shine. Don't put it under a bushel basket.
Yeah. Yeah, let your light shine.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You know, but really, I told the guys at Eddyville Sunday, look, this is a dark. Now, Eddyville, Kentucky, or Kentucky State Penitentiary.
I bet you that's a dark place.
Is a dark place.
I bet it is.
Now, Ken here Cummings, our general manager, his family worked at the prison and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, it's a dark place because it houses the hardest criminals in the state of Kentucky.
Sure, sure, yeah.
And so when you, and it seems like lately it's been darker than usual.
Okay.
And I told the guys, look, the Christians that go to the chapel and everything, I said, look, guys, everywhere light goes, it dispels darkness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can turn that light off, or we can turn all the lights off in here.
Yeah.
And if you just light a little match,
mm-hmm.
that will dispel what's around it, won't it, Larry?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It dispels it.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit of light can get rid of a lot of darkness.
Oh, yes.
So everywhere, I told him, I said, everywhere your foot trots, everywhere you walk out there, you're pushing darkness back as a believer.
Absolutely.
See, that if we could look at it that way,
that,
and he said, you're the light of the world.
Yeah. Are you seeing a lot more? Are you seeing people giving their life to Jesus in the prison ministries? I mean, I've been noticing, like, online that some of our local jails, a lot of people are coming to know Jesus and getting baptized and stuff in the jail system. What about in the prison system? Is there people giving their life to Jesus?
Well, there's people giving their life to Jesus in prisons. Yes. Most of the and really the. The key is the other men that are Christians in the prison is usually the ones that influence the other. You know, it's not so much our great preaching and stuff. We had a guy.
Sure.
Tommy Vallejos came over to the jail jail ministry, went to jail ministry last night because we have Tommy over in Clarksville, tremendous minister, came over and shared. He was a gangbanger and his family was.
Yeah.
And he got converted and stuff. And out in, I think it's New Mexico or in that area somewhere. And, you know, believers, the power of the gospel is stronger than any power there is.
Oh, gosh, yes. Amen.
The simple gospel is
simple
the most
gospel.
Powerful thing you can do.
Absolutely.
What, Christ came to earth to take away the sins of the world? He was crucified?
Yes.
He died.
Mm-hmm.
He was buried.
Mm-hmm.
And the third day he rose from the dead.
Rose from the dead.
Listen, that's the most powerful message you can ever give somebody.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not the elegant of speech or the great words. It's that simple gospel.
That's right.
That changes lives, bro.
That's right. That's right. Well, let's break away for a few moments and get into Johnny Erickson Tada, Sharing Hope, and a little music, and we'll be back.
Hi, this is Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tada, Sharing Hope. Johnny and I are wondering, do you think of yourself as needy?
Well, actually, let me take it a step further. Do you consider yourself poor and needy? Now, what may come to mind are homeless people, elderly widows on Social Security, maybe orphans who have no one to adopt them. It's natural to think of those who are financially insecure or without a home or without family support as, well, needy and poor. But listen, King David, a man known for significance and security, writes in Psalm 40, quote, "I am poor and needy." And then he adds poignantly, "Yet the Lord thinks upon me." Now that should give perspective on just who are the poor and needy. It's King David, along with you and me and anyone else who thinks themselves as above anyone on food stamps or public housing. Jesus tells us in John chapter 15, without me, you can do nothing. Friend, we're nothing. We are poor and needy without Christ. We've got no resources, no abilities. We'd be failing and faltering, constantly driven to despair. We'd be lost and abandoned, hopeless, without a reason to live, were it not for Christ. That's us. That's the truth about you and me. We are desperately poor and constantly needy. And if we do not see ourselves that way, we're blinded by pride. Yet here's the thing. Here's the poignant part that touched the heart of King David. Even though we are terribly needy and poor, quote, "the Lord thinks upon us." Oh, friend, you and I, who without Christ are nothing, be encouraged. The Lord thinks upon us. I love that. Hedy Bauman explains it this way. She says, Jesus carries us in his heart. At no time does he ever forget us or become weary of us or tire of hearing and answering our prayers. At no time does Jesus stop thinking about you and tenderly caring for your needs. When it concerns us, you better believe he never slumbers or sleeps. He knows the exact moments we need grace and extra enablement or encouragement. Even when you do not think about him, he is thinking about you. With every trial of every day, God is your ever-present help in trouble, delivering you from all your fears. It says in Hosea chapter 11, he leads you with, get this, cords of human kindness. That kindness could be expressed in a sweet letter from a friend, or a kind word from a coworker, maybe a phone call from someone who has empathy. All of it originates with God. After all, God is near. He is Emmanuel with us. He abides with us, and His Holy Spirit lives within us, in our hearts, no less. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, friend, though we are poor and needy, the Lord thinks upon us. What a wonderfully comforting thought. Johnny is always quick to remind us that heaven is the bottom line. It's the reason we can persevere through pain and hardship. Our days on earth are but a blip on the eternal screen, and heaven will be one glorious day after the next. Not only thinking about the Lord, but worshiping and enjoying Him. So today, why not go to johnnyradio.org and listen to this important message again? Or spend some time listening to Johnny's other comforting and timeless messages. They are sure to give you strength as you run the race marked out for you. And let's celebrate that wonderful day when we will arrive, we will finish the race, and we will step into heaven, our real home.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 3, "It is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel." Ed Watt was visiting a local department store with his wife, and they had just purchased a piece of luggage and a cooler. As Ed browsed in the shoe department, waiting for his wife to finish the rest of her shopping, a clerk asked if he could be of assistance. "Don't think you," replied, "I'm just waiting for my wife." At that point, a man behind him said, "I'm waiting for my wife too, but I never thought to bring lunch in an overnight bag." I'd say that man's prepared. Are you prepared? God provides all, and all to Him we owe. But the main thing, are you ready to go? I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It taps me into what I need to hear for spiritual growth and keeps me on the right path and just feeds my soul.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
Josh Pantana, "My King Is Known by Mercy," right here on Missionary Radio. And of course, this is The Front Porch. And before we went to break, we was talking about something about hurting the devil or something like that.
I think it's called Whoop the Devil.
Whooping the devil. There we go. Whooping.
Let's whoop that guy.
I should have remembered that one. Whooping.
Hey, whooping.
Whooping.
You know, in Luke 10:19, it says, "Behold, I give you power, tread on snakes and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy."
Mm-hmm.
Now, Brian, that can't be true, is it?
Very true.
Huh?
Very true.
I mean, you know, hey, we've got the mentality, if we're not careful, that the devil's bigger than us.
Mm-hmm.
And he is bigger than us.
He is bigger than us, but we can put him in his spot.
But what did Jesus say? He said, "Behold, I give you power."
That means
who
you.
Is you?
That means you.
It means Brian.
And Larry.
And Mike.
Yeah.
Over the devil.
Over the devil.
Hey, listen, we need to take that power. Mm-hmm. See, there's three kinds of power. And I used to study this out, but I didn't bring it with me now. But this power is exousia, which means authority.
Mm-hmm.
There's, when you read the word power, just in the King James Version, you're reading through their power. There's three different meanings of that.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is dynamite, dunamis power.
Okay.
That's where the word dynamite comes from.
Mm-hmm.
That's miracle working power.
Mm.
Now, that's power, but that power has been given to the believer.
Yes.
Now, people would say, well, that passed away. Well, that's a bunch of baloney.
Yeah.
You go to some of the countries we've been, Larry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's passed away, has it?
No, it hadn't.
Not at all.
Uh-uh.
You'll see them with that simple faith operating anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we've been given that exousia, which means authority.
Yeah.
We have been, in this particular passage, "Behold, I give you power, tread on snakes and scorpions, dunamis, and over all the power of the enemy." That's authority.
Yes.
We have authority over the power of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Not in our own power.
But through Him.
Through Him, and then through His name.
Yes.
It's that name of Jesus that can steal the waters.
Oh, I tell you what, Mike, when you speak that name, Jesus,
you know,
things just turn around.
Well, let me tell you.
The devil can't fight against Jesus. There's no way. When you start speaking that name Jesus, he has to flee.
You know,
I learned
a long time ago, that name is so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was working in public, and I remember being in a place working, and you know how your coworkers sometimes may be talking about things that's not real spiritual.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
A few words. Is that right, Larry? Do you ever have that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just in the middle of that conversation sometime, I encourage believers out there, just in the middle of one of those conversations, just all of a sudden say, Jesus. just call his name out.
You won't tear people up.
I'm serious. See
yeah,
what happens.
I got you. I got you.
They start stuttering and you know, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
That name changes things.
It does.
It can change conversations. It
really does.
It can change situations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, how often do people call on him when they say, it looks like a wreck's going to happen? You know, first thing he calls, Jesus,
yeah,
help me or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, because that's the most powerful name. But that's authority.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's given us his authority.
Yeah.
Now, we should be seeing more things happen in his name.
Absolutely.
But we don't believe.
Mm-mm. You know, I can remember back the last time I had kidney stones. Of course, between the ER and going to a room, they can't give you any type of medication, you know, to kill the pain while you're in transfer. So they had gave me some while I was in the ER, but I was kind of in between, and well, I was really hurting, and my wife was you know sitting there in the room, and I was like bent over doing everything I could just to get the pain to try to ease off. And I just started speaking that name, Jesus. And I said, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And all of a sudden that pain just left, you know.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Until they got the IV in me and got me all hooked up, you know, and stuff like that. But, you know, like you said, that name is so powerful.
Oh, my goodness.
That he can help you through so, so many things. When things in our life is going are being turned upside down, just speak the name Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He'll show up, and he's always on time. He's never late.
You know, use that name today. You mm-hmm. hear me? Somewhere in a situation, just try that sometime. Just all of a sudden say, Jesus.
Yeah.
And yeah. Don't hesitate to pray for people. My wife,
yeah,
she'll pray for people all the time, won't she, Larry?
Uh-huh. Anybody and everybody.
No matter where it's at, maybe in the grocery store, maybe anywhere else.
That's it, you know, because Mike, you know, how many times, I think Larry and Mike, and I think all of us can say the same thing. How many times somebody come up and say, pray for me, and you'll say, I'll remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
And go on and forget all about it.
Uh-huh.
That's what happens.
But if we just take the time when somebody says, hey, pray for me, well, we're about just praying right now.
Yes, why not right now?
Well, let's just go ahead and get it done right now. You know, wherever you're at, don't be ashamed of him, because you don't want to be ashamed of him in front of people.
No.
Let your light shine in front of people. And, you know, if you're right in the middle of the Dollar General store, Walmart, wherever you might be, just stop and start praying for him. Mm-hmm. You know, and you might get some looks, but that's all right. Let them look.
Well, it's okay, isn't it, Larry?
Well, yeah.
You know, Larry's been in those countries and been over there where— Like something about Haiti and Bangladesh. Is Bangladesh a Christian country, Larry? Not very much. Huh?
Very little of it.
You may have to get out somewhere real quick, you know, because I often, you know, in those Hindu villages, you know, we went in, Larry going to Hindu. You ever see them old ugly statues?
Oh, yeah, all those eight-armed statues.
Statues, everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Go into some of these donut shops or places like that, and you may see some of them. I'm not putting it down. I didn't say that.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, listen, I believe in freedom of religion.
Sure.
I believe you can worship any way you want to worship. That's our rights as American citizens that we're fought for and mm-hmm. stand on.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people, if you want to worship a tree, go worship that tree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A tree may not speak to you, but
I just
you
remember
can
who created that tree.
Yeah.
That's what you ought to tell them. So just look at that
where
tree.
Where did that tree come from?
Yeah, where'd that tree come from? You know.
You know, I mean, people worship trees. I mean, they make idols.
They do.
You know, but God is on our side when we're believers.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
I just want to read a couple of scriptures here that's so powerful in whooping the devil. It says that in Romans, the 8th chapter, 31 verse, it says, what then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, what's that? Who can be against us?
Amen.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is God for you today?
He's for us. He's for us.
Then who can be against you? That's right.
That's right.
I mean, there may be people against you. You may have to go back into the same workplace or situation or even in a family situation you're in when it's rough or when things aren't going well.
Mm-hmm.
Still, he is with you.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's the enemy, remember, that you're fighting against.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we got to start whooping the devil more.
There you go.
Whooping him.
Just whoop up on him. I can remember back several years ago when we was traveling a lot singing. We used to travel quite a bit, and I had come up with a name, and we didn't go on with it. But anyway, yeah, we was going to call it Kick the Devil in the Teeth Tour is what we was going to call it.
Yeah.
But, you know, but we didn't go on with that. But anyway, yeah, it was an idea. But we ought to. We ought to really, you know, just give it our all in all and put him in his place, because he has no control over us. He tries. He tries his best, and some people he wins. But as long as we kick him out, kick him away, mention that name Jesus, he has to flee.
Well, Brian, that's what Missionary Radio is doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's whooping the devil.
Whooping.
These airwaves are going out in that darkness. The prince of the darkness of the world is penetrating those dark areas.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, guys, it's been good.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
And, Mike, would you pray us out of here this
morning? Yes, sir. Lord, we just thank you for being here today, and we ask you to give us power and strength to stand for you. And bless Missionary Radio. Those hearing us, may they be just have a little twinge to send us some support in here to help keep us fighting the devil, the prince of the darkness in the air. And so we ask you for help in that area, and we also ask you, Lord, to guide our steps today in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thanks for listening to The Front Porch, and join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.